You're listening to The Wet Spot, hosted by Passion Poet, a safe space for our tears, sweat, and sexuality.
Have you always wanted to write a book but had no idea how to start? Or maybe you've already finished your manuscript but now you're stuck. Now what? Do you need someone to help you make sure your manuscript is error-free and ready for the world? Or do you need someone to help you get your book on Amazon ready for people to buy? Do you need any help at all self-publishing your book? Well, let Passionate Word Editing help you get everything done, from concept to completion. Contact us at passionatewordsediting@gmail.com and let's get started. Do you want to become a sponsor of The Wet Spot or to donate to help this Wet Spot go further? Well, here's how you can do it. If you want to become a sponsor of an episode or several episodes, you can hit me up at The Wet Spot Podcast, one word, The Wet Spot Podcast @gmail.com, and we can discuss how you can become a sponsor. If you want to donate a love offering or some just a gift to the Erotic Empire and the Wet Spot itself, hit me up in my PayPal. Just send something to paypal.me. That's paypal.me/eroticempire. One word, paypal.me/eroticempire. And just give a love donation. I would really appreciate it. And that will help the Wet Spot and the Erotic Empire go so much further. So thank you so much. And let's get wet. Get wet. Welcome to the Wet Spot poetry segment. Let my voice touch you in ways that will make you curl and go, Yes, let's get wet. Erotic poetry. There's erotic poetry on her skin, pulling me in seductively, tantalizing me till I can't resist the urge to touch so gently, feeling the burn of electricity where my fingers press ever so softly into her melanin, and my skin sinks into divinity. For I have touched God, and my life would never be the same again. 'Cause there's erotic poetry in her curves, sinuous symmetry of sensuality in every swishing line. My mind traces her suppleness, and when we kiss, sonnets spring forth, erupting overhead like fireworks, synapses firing as fingers stroke her hair, her back, the curves of her ass. And I am lost in the mystery of her beauty. There's erotic poetry on her lips, while our bodies merge with the rhythm of spoken word stanzas, lips meeting and parting and meeting and parting and meeting and thrusting, tongues convulsing as my pen is dipped inside her ink, sinking deep within every roll of hips, writing in cursive upon the pink pages of her lust. Our bedroom, an open mic for two. Moving metaphors make melodies merge as moans meld together, making music together in the symphony of sex. There's erotic poetry on your skin. Let us start a movement. Welcome welcome to the Wet Spot interview section, where we expertly marry erotica and education. We connect with awesome people who have awesome stories. Let's get wet and get deep. Welcome to the Wet Spot. This is Passion Poet for another week. And last time we were speaking to Christine DeLuzier and we were talking about the diet of great sex. And this book was so deep. And so we weren't even able to finish all of it last time. So I decided we're going to have another episode. We went into talking about our bodies and how our bodies experience sex, talking about how our minds were connecting in sex and the science behind the sex and the science behind great sex. We even talked about the fact that she's an acupuncturist and talked about traditional Chinese medicine. And now we're getting to the fun part. How do you put all of that stuff together and actually have good sex? Christine, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yes, like I said, we had a wonderful time last time. And because of going through my notes again, I'm like, I am really sure. I'm trying to decide whether we're going to have a part three. We will see how things go. Because we have the action plan, right? But then I realize you have the bonus about giving good head. And so I'm wondering, do we have enough? Can we put all of this and we cram all of this into one episode? Or should we split it into two? What do you think?
Well, let's see. I mean, we can spend a lifetime, mastering oral sex.
All right, but so... as you said, last time we were talking about all of the science and all that behind how the body operates and how we relate to food and how the food relates to sex. So now we have, just like in school, you have the theory and now you have the practical. When I was in college and at university, you had your theory, you had your lecturers, and then you had your tutorials, which was like a more intimate, smaller cuts of, not the large group of people, but smaller groups. And you have more intimate time talking to the lecturer. You had, especially for the types of subjects, like the science subjects and stuff, you actually had practicals where you actually went into the lab and did stuff. So this part of the book is the action plan, which is the practical. Right? So,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about, I guess it's pretty obvious. You have all of this science and you want to put it into practice. So that was basically the thing, right?
So that can be kind of overwhelming, I feel like, depending on where you're at nutritionally, especially for those of us who haven't considered our diet at all. Do we eat what tastes good? Do we even pay any attention to what the nutritional value of it is? Did we ever care before we maybe made this connection between what we eat and our sex lives? It depends on your baseline. It can be overwhelming that, when somebody says, well, why don't you reduce your fat, fat intake, or why don't you stop eating so many processed foods? Okay, well, what do I eat then? How do I shop? How do I stock my refrigerator? Or what about if I don't like cooking? How can I go out and have a meal that's going to still nourish my sex life? And the biggest thing, maybe we should start with cooking at home, because that's something that we have a lot of control over, what ingredients we use and everything. The biggest thing with what we were buying from the grocery store is trying not to buy processed stuff. And that always means more work, doesn't it? It always means more time preparing what we're eating. One of the simplest ways that you can make a big change in your life, in your diet, and, you know, bring a lot to the table of great sex is just by changing our lunch. You know, if you change your lunch, that's the probably step one. And I would suggest a simple change be that every single day you try to get a leafy green salad in, along with either a baked potato or a baked yam or some squash. Or, you know, basically the reason for that is you want to bring in some potassium and some of the other minerals with that. You want to eat it with the skin on, because about 40% of that potassium and those other minerals like magnesium are in the skin. And when you get those too, you know, I don't know if we talked last time about potassium, but potassium is something that's super critical. It's something that most of us don't get enough of. And it's something that helps combat all of the excess salt in our diets. What potassium does is it softens that delicate inner lining of the blood vessels leading to the clitoris and the penis. And so it allows for more blood flow. And what salt does is it does the opposite. When we eat too much salt, first of all, most of us, at least there was a couple studies here in the U.S. saying that most of us eat more salt than is considered fit for human consumption. Wow. And that's scary. You know, that's really scary. And that really destroys our blood vessels. So trying to get enough potassium in, it's an effort. It's not one of those things that if you just say, oh, I'm going to eat more fruits and vegetables, you'll get enough potassium. And that's not the case. You actually have to make an effort to do so. A great way to get, you can get half of your potassium in that one meal. You know, if you have a leafy green salad and you have a baked yam with it, you're going to get over half of your daily potassium just in that meal. And you're going to get a good dose of lots of other minerals as well. So that can bring so much to the table for great sex, because the leafy greens, remember, they offer all sorts of benefits to great sex. They promote, you know, the naturally occurring nitrates promote vascular health. The potassium works, you know, again, what we just talked about with our blood vessels. The zinc lowers cortisol levels, which is a stress hormone. We all have stress, and that disrupts testosterone. So you'll help normalize your testosterone levels for better libido. And that's for males and females. And all of those antioxidants in there also promote nerve speed conduction. So they promote better nerve conduction, meaning that better signal, like we talked about, when they're from our genitals to our spine to our brain, we have more pleasure when our partner touches us. We have better clitoral sensitivity and penile sensitivity. And so it just basically equates to more pleasure, better arousal, you know, more lubrication, all those things. So just that one meal can make a huge difference in your lifestyle. I mean, there's a lot of general ideas for implementing this. And, you know, we go into more detail in the book. But starting with that one meal is a great step.
Right.
You know, we can change our other meals as well. And, you know, the overarching themes are there. And we talk, you know, I talk a lot about those in detail in the book, like getting cruciferous vegetables in there. You know, those are anti-inflammatory. They have these sulfuric compounds that do all sorts of things in the body. One of them is offsetting damage from oxidative stress. They're super antioxidants. And what was the study I was reading? I read something about cruciferous, how they helped your body not absorb certain toxic heavy metals that you're exposed to. Right. So that's an added benefit. But yeah, there are a lot of things that we can incorporate in our diet. But one big one is your lunch, leafy green salad and potassium. Other rich sources of potassium, if you don't like the yam, you can have an orange, you could have a mango, you could have a banana. All of those are good sources as well. But there's not a long list of great sources of potassium.
Well, I know for sure that. This is why I wanted to have a specific episode based on this, because this is exactly what I personally would need. Excuse me.
is one of the things I would personally need, because everything you just said in the very beginning, that represents me. I don't sit down. I eat food because it tastes good. I don't think about its nutritional value so much, and because I like to cook, but I also when I had my apartment, I also didn't like coming home from work and then having to cook as well. So what used to happen is I would cook all my stuff. I would cook on Sunday. Barbadians, we have a traditional large Sunday lunch, which includes rice and chicken and vegetables and coleslaw and potato salad and like a whole heap of different things. Like Sunday is big food day kind of thing.
And, that sounds delicious.
It is.
I'm gonna have to go on a little food tour of Barbados.
Well, you're always welcome there. It is an amazing. I love. I will admit, Sunday. And now that I've moved back home again, you know, like before, I had to prepare it all myself. Now, you know, I'm working and you know, my dad actually does the cooking on Sundays. So that is it. But I mean, you know, it's a wonderful. But because when I was working for other people. And before I had work, so before I started working on my own, and when I was having my own apartment, I hated having to come home after a long day at work and then have to cook, and then had to cook. Yeah. So what I usually did was I would cook. I would cook on Sunday, and that Sunday food would stretch and last me Sunday, Monday, probably a little bit by Tuesday. Maybe if I push it, depending. By that time, the meat is gone, but there's probably a little bit of rice left, which can last me till Wednesday, which means then I can try to, you know, I can try to have to cook again Wednesday evening. But how it used to work for me was that was lunch. Okay, so I would prepare that, and that would be lunch. And what I meant by that is I would carry my lunch to work, which is fine. But the downside to that is I still want to eat when I come home from work. I don't want to cook again. So I used to end up going to the fast food restaurant before mm-hmm. coming home. You know, I would stop and buy a piece of chicken or a burger and just come home and eat that. Or we live in the Caribbean, so I had rotis, actually wrapped rotis, and you know, rather than the rotis, is there the meat and everything is wrapped up in the roti like a package, and eat it like that. So that's what I used to eat.
Is that a bread? Is a roti? Is that a bread?
No, roti. Well, it's made, the skin is usually made of flour, but it is a flat. Is for lack of a better word, roti skin is sorta like pizza bread. It's not bread at all, but that's the closest thing that I can give you that will melt so you can understand what it looks like. Mm-hmm. But it's basically just flour. And the other materials, but so you can actually fold it in, and the meat and the potatoes and stuff is in the middle, and you just fold it over, so you actually have it holds together like a package, and you can eat it like that. Well, that's how it's done commercially. But like other islands, like in Jamaica and Trinidad, the roti is the skin is separate from the meat and everything else, so the meat and everything else looks like a almost like a stew, and you just dip you tear the skin off like how you would do with a bread, dip it in and eat. So there are different ways of eating it, but when you buy it from the fast food restaurant, it's all like a little packet, and you just take it up and take off the cover and just eat it like that. So that's but that's flour. That's a lot of flour. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about processed food. You're talking about basically what you the action plan here is increasing fruits and vegetables, exercising daily, getting adequate sunlight, and we never talked about the fast, so we can get into that as well. But basically, getting rid of or limiting fatty foods, fatty processed, salty, or refined foods like sugar, refined sugar, and refined grains. So the flour is the refined grains and stuff like that. So basically speaking, you're limiting all the foods I like.
Okay, so I want to tell you this, though. I truly believe that food should be enjoyable. Any diet that makes you feel like you never want to eat again and takes all the joy out of eating should not exist, you know? Yeah. I mean, I love food. I am a foodie. I would not be able to do that myself. So, you know, the thing about it is you got 21 meals in a week, though. So basically what I suggest to my patients is when you're during the work week, that's your work week, okay? You're a little bit more strict with yourself. You're a little bit more strict with breakfast and lunch than you are with dinner. And then on the week to a party at your family's house, or you've got Sunday, you know, like your Sunday meal with family, with friends, you know, that's the time that you enjoy your food. And, you know, you don't want to be excessively indulgent, but yourself. Food is meant to produce dopamine. That's, you know, that's how the human condition is. Our body produces the pleasure chemical dopamine when we eat. And it's meant to be pleasurable. So completely depriving ourselves of the enjoyment of food is definitely not the goal. But I noticed, too, that when we are more mindful of what we eat, we actually enjoy food more. So right. when we're eating, like, fast food and junk food all the time, we don't even appreciate the junk food. We don't even, like, get that thrill or that enjoyment or that rush out of it because it's just commonplace. When you eat, you know, the kind of the bounty of Mother Nature, you know, the fruits, the berries, you know, breakfast, and you're eating all these leaves, you know, just like our primate cousins, you know, we're eating all of these, you know, these things that just bring so much to our bodies. Then you have a meal like, you know, that's more fatty, a little bit more meaty, or a little bit more heavy. It's way more enjoyable. You know, you actually appreciate that meal a lot more than you do otherwise. So food should be enjoyable. So, you know, just select the meals that you're going to, you know, indulge a little bit more, you know, be selective with it. You don't have to indulge every meal. You can have, you know, certain meals that you do. You know, during the work week, you might have for breakfast, you might have some berries and maybe some oatmeal, or you might have some berries and some nuts for breakfast. You're going to have a leafy green salad and your yam. And then for dinner, you have some meat or some fish. Fish, especially. Fish brings a lot to the table. You got your omega-3s. Humans were meant to eat fish, you know, for sure. So maybe some fish, some vegetables, and then a starch, you know, something like you know, potatoes or something like rice or something like that for dinner. So your dinner is a little heavier, but you've balanced it with your breakfast and lunch.
Well, I can talk to myself. I can talk about myself. And for me, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, for me, the heaviest time I eat is lunch. Dinner doesn't exist for me. I eat dinner. I eat breakfast, which usually is something like I was extremely vulnerable last time. I'll be vulnerable again today. I had two hot dogs. I boiled two hot dogs for breakfast this morning. I had two hot dogs and basically cocoa. I guess I have to remember you're not Barbadian, so I have to like always bring down water. But so basically it was cocoa and hot dogs and used what I call biscuits, what you guys will call saltine crackers. Mm-hmm. So crackers, two hot dogs, a drizzle of mustard and tea and cocoa. That was it.
Yeah. You know?
So I mean, for me, breakfast is I don't have to rush anymore because I no longer work for somebody else. I work for myself. But it's still, I have things I want to do. So I get up, I find something quick and easy, and then I start my day. So, yeah.
So let's take a look at what's going on in your mind when you wake up in the morning. So our bodies are very adaptive. The calories in preparation for meals depends on what our bodies are expecting to eat, if that makes sense. When you was used to having bacon and eggs or hot dogs or whatever in the morning, your body will prepare for that. When you give it some time and you go through the kind of a little bit of the sweat, of changing it for a week or 2 weeks, your body no longer expects that in the morning. And it actually will be very satisfied with something like fruit or fruit and nuts or a little oatmeal or, something a little bit lighter. So it's just what you're expecting. I mean, when we're used to eating a little bit more substantial breakfast, it's very disappointing to wake up and say, oh, nope, you're going to eat berries today. Your ears oh, berries? I want to eat my bacon and eggs. We get used to it. But your body very quickly changes. And again, that's all based on dopamine. It's all based on dopamine. Your body, it's that dopamine pathway where when we eat food, our bodies produce dopamine. The more fat and sugar we eat, the more it takes before our brains will release dopamine. So they've done studies where changing your diet after a couple weeks, your whole dopamine pathway will be reset. So that means that your body will produce the pleasure chemical when you eat things like berries or when you eat, a salad or, that sort of thing. So it will reset. You just got to kind of go through a little bit of sweat with that.
But yeah, I get it. I'll be honest. After having our conversation last week, I was motivated. You went afterwards to get a salad, and I went to talk to a guy who does Tai Chi. So I'm actually having my first Tai Chi lesson with him this afternoon. So the idea of moving and not really wanting, so with this goes into the other part, the exercise. I am not a big person who likes exercise. I pretty much hate pain, and so anything that has anything to do with you feel good in the moment, yes, but my muscles scream in agony afterwards, and I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Oh my goodness, you're gonna love Tai Chi. Tai Chi it moves so slow and flowing, so you have no idea what good exercise it is. It's like, because you're moving in such a slow way, you think, oh no, that couldn't possibly be good exercise. It requires a lot of muscle work, a lot of muscle coordination, but it's a beautiful kind of art as well. It's almost like a dance in a certain way, and it's like meditation combined with exercise combined with dance, like the slowest dance form. And it's beautiful and it feels great. And I'm really excited that you're doing that.
And based on that, exercise is the other aspect of the action. You want to increase blood flow. You want to, the fruits and the vegetables help with the But of course, if your blood increases, if blood increases, then of course it goes. That's why, for example, exercise always makes me horny.
Yeah, and it's not just the blood flow either. It stimulates the certain parts of the nervous system, which make people more receptive to sexual arousal. So they've done all these studies too. If for your anybody who has a partner who needs a little bit of encouragement to get in the mood, send them off to exercise, wait 20 minutes and then, you know, do your thing, because 20 minutes post exercise is a great time to, you know, start the game. You know, it's, people are just more responsive.
That's like pre-game tip number one. You know, go and have a little exercise beforehand. Go and do a little jogging or something, and come back around and see what happens. So I'm writing this in my book. I'm writing this in my player's handbook. It's something that, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think like I guess because I didn't have a partner at the time when I was actually doing a lot of exercising, coming home and being extremely aroused in that way, it really pissed me off, because it's like granted, I've learned over the years how to channel that energy and do something else with it. I mean, that's the reason why I'm an erotic writer now, right? Because I actually had all this energy and I was not in a position to actually have sex with anyone. And I found that, you know, I wrote it out with my poetry, etc. And that's what started everything that led to this podcast and everything else. So I have learned over the years, you know, to take that energy and transfer it. But back in the day when I was doing a lot more exercise, I was coming home frustrated because I was horny and there was no one to have sex with. And I was just, it was heavy. So And I'll be honest, that's one of the main reasons. Plus the pain. Like I said, I hate pain. But plus the pain, that's what I came home feeling extremely frustrated. And I ended up slowly slowing down. And then actually, like I said, not having any exercise at all. So is for me, is a we talked about mindset last time for a short while. So it is really going back to the basics and having that mindset of you're doing this for your health. I'm doing this I'm doing this to get better sex life whenever I do get a sex life. And you know, it's a mindset thing. But exercise, definitely, I'm glad that exercise, you know, I have a reason to exercise now. Beyond people use the idea of, well, you know, you're gonna be fitter and all that, but I think if people use this, you know, if you start to have a campaign, you want to have better sex, go and exercise. That might actually push more people to exercise a little bit more. But like, so we were talking about the exercise, like I said, I'm getting motivated to do more exercise or to actually start exercising again. And I'm glad that you endorsed the Tai Chi, because I thought to myself that Tai Chi, being that it's slow, being that it is, you know, non or low impact, I'm thinking it should be better up my sleeve than having, because I had a fairly scary time last time I tried to exercise. I think I mentioned it last time. Ended up in hospital for 5 days because my potassium was low.
That
got me literally not wanting to exercise, you know, at all. But you have to do something. So when this guy said that he was, you know, I knew he was doing Tai Chi and I was interested, but never took that step. So I decided, after having our conversation, to contact him. And so I'm going to try starting that this evening. So I'll let you know off air how it went. And
Great.
But yeah, so the good thing I like about the getting back into this, I love the fact that we have actual recipes. You know, the recipes are really interesting. And a big shout out to Emily Daniels from Wholesome Hedonista.
Wholesome Hedonista.
Right, she's the one who came up with the recipes according to the book there. And the recipes have me like, I like smoothies. I really do like smoothies. My hard part with seeing all these smoothies is I have to try my best not to put sugar in them. because I like sweet things.
Well, you know, with the bananas, they don't need a lot of sweet. And you can even add things like dates. You know, dates have potassium in them. They've got a lot of other nutritional, you know, benefits. And you can sweeten them with that sort of thing. So you don't have to really add, you know, add too many sweeteners. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, my daughter, it was Emily from Wholesome Hedonista is my daughter. And so she came up with a lot of, and, you know, some of them we came up with together, but she's a genius in the kitchen, and she can take any kind of dietary guidelines and just create something beautiful and delicious with it. So all the recipes are delicious, honestly.
Well, I'm looking forward to trying them. Really am. I'm looking forward to trying them for sure. And the other part of the book that I found interesting was the journaling. Oh, well, before you got to the journaling, you actually have checking in with your partner. I guess this ties into the journaling because, you know, we talked about the selfishness, the emotional and even environmental side. This action plan actually allows you to check in with yourself and your partner. What do you like? What does your partner like? And I like that. I love that because it sort of gives me the ability, or it forces me to actually to answer that question concretely. You know, because because communication is not something that some people put into their relationship at all. So you might like to be touched in a certain way, but you expect that your partner will know that you like to be touched that way, but you've never talked about it. Granted, if he or she is attentive, they can see the subtle changes when you gasp in pleasure, it touched in one way or another, or you know, you shy away on comparatively when you don't like it and you sort of pull away from it. Those are subtle hints, but I know that most men are like me. I'm a man. I don't take hints very well. You gotta tell me straight up. I don't take hints. I might be a little bit more attuned to taking hints because of my, you know, being the writer that I am, and because of being an erotic writer, my whole purpose in when I write is to, all those subtleties need to come out into my art. So I'm a little bit hints, but. Most of us don't take hints. You gotta tell us straight up. This is what I like, this is what I don't like. Of course, there's the issue also of ego, but that's another topic.
Exactly. You know, if I were to say honestly, what makes a good lover? You know, is it you know, somebody who has stamina, who likes a woman who, you know, likes the female form, who, you know, what makes a good lover? And I would say if you distill it down to the most basic component, it's a curiosity. It's mm-hmm. somebody who can humbly be curious about the other person. And, you know, that's where arrogance can't come into play there. Ego can't come into play because that limits the ceiling for how good of a lover a person can be, because, you know, like if guys need you to tell them, you have to be open to being told. You know, you have to welcome that. You can't view it as an insult, you know, or something that you're doing wrong or that your partner is saying you're not a good lover. You have to tell your partner, you know, you have to encourage your partner to tell you and ask questions. Does this feel good or does that feel good? Oh, what about when I tried this? You know, how should I do it? You know, invite instruction, encourage it, and be happy when your partner gives you instruction. That's what makes a good lover. And, you know, what I see a lot of times is, you know, ego tied to that, where it's like somebody tries, they may even match to please one, you know, one woman, for example. And then they think that they've got it down. And if anybody tells them differently, it makes them feel bad. It makes them feel like they're being, you know, insulted. Person is different. You know, one woman likes a strong pressure. Another woman likes a light pressure, you know, and even just simple things like getting the bullseye, you know, getting the bullseye. I would say if women have a complaint, it's that their partner is not on the mark a lot of the time, or they're kind of oscillating. It's almost like they're throwing darts blindfolded. So sometimes it's getting closer, or they're, you know, blindfold whacking at a pinata or something. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's hitting, sometimes it's not. And that's, you know, you got to learn how, that's one thing to definitely pay attention to, is just getting the bullseye. I actually have some tips for that in the book on how to actually consistently be on target, you know, for that. Cause that can be difficult. It can be tricky to kind of master that.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, well, what do you remember what they, I would have to scroll through. Do you remember what those tips are right now? Or you have, or
sure. It's a process. I mean, one way. Okay. So let me tell you where I got my information from, because, you know, most of us, me being a female, I've only had, I'm heterosexual and I like men. I've only had male partners. And quite honestly, you know, it's like, I know when somebody's doing it right. I know when somebody's not doing it right, but I couldn't tell you what, I couldn't have told you what the hell they're doing down there. You know, who right. knows really? Right. So I had to really talk to some people who I knew were good pussy eaters. And so I had to talk to, I actually talked to an ex of mine who was really just a pro. He was like a pussy eating wizard. I don't know what the hell, how the hell he got to that status. But so I interviewed him. And then I also interviewed a lesbian friend of mine who she not only has mastered pussy eating, you know, she has a pussy, she knows what things feel like, and she also eats a pussy, you know? So who better to give advice than somebody who's mastered both? But she also actually has given her straight friends, you know, husbands tutorials and things to help them. So she knows about that. So she gave me step-by-step instructions, and it actually kind of changed how it brought so much to the table. That she actually recommended things that no other partner had ever done with me. And then I passed that information on to my partners. So one of the ways that you can get the bullseye, you know, be on the sweet spot, is to use your nose above the clit. There you have the vaginal, or the lips, you know, the labia majora. And then right at there, there's like an apex. It's where the two lips meet. It's at the top. Okay. And if you, if a person puts their nose right into that little groove and presses in there, first of all, you won't be able to breathe out of your nose. You'll have to breathe out of your mouth. But that will pop the clit right into your mouth. It'll pop the sweet spot into your mouth. And what that does is it'll make it so that you only have to use you don't have to use these large lapping moves that are very fatiguing. One of the biggest complaints that guys have is that it's really fatiguing to have to keep up this, you know, this marathon. And but when you get the sweet spot right under your tongue, you don't even have to use the tip of your tongue. You use the flat part, and you use these little micro movements where you can completely make it to the finish line. That's actually a whole other topic too. Is just that our expectations for how long it's going to take for a woman to have an orgasm. I mean, for a guy, it could be, you know, a few minutes. For a woman, they've done studies where from the time that she's fully aroused, you know, it could take 20, 30 minutes for her to have an orgasm. So plus when you're in arousal state, you're talking about, you could be there for 45 minutes to an hour, and that's that doesn't fall outside of the range of normal. So a lot of guys don't have the patience for that and feel too bad about making their partner do that for that long. So a lot of times they just accept that they're not going to have pleasure, or they're not going to have an orgasm with their partner, and then they go use their vibrator on their own after they have sex with their partner. But getting the sweet spot right there helps reduce fatigue and helps you to be able to make it. Another thing you can do is prop a pillow underneath her behind. to make it more comfortable for you. You can even hang, you know, you can even sit on the edge of the bed so that your knees are on the floor if it's more comfortable, more of a comfortable position than kind of lying on the bed. So that's one good tip for having longevity and getting on the mark consistently. So it's not like you're batting a pinata, you know, where it's sometimes pleasurable, sometimes not.
Yes. Yeah. I certainly love eating pussy. That is one of my favorite things to do, but I've never had that particular tip before. So like I said, player's handbook open, tip number two. I'm typing that in right as I speak because that's something that I definitely want to try. Definitely the idea of putting my nose in that apex and just going for it. That's interesting. I mean, I'm gonna try that. So, yeah, I mean, and like I said, this like I say is really really full of tips. Sliding back up for a second to the action plan. I like the fact after the journal, you actually have the organizational. It's almost like a chart where you can, or I guess it's part of the journal, but you have where you can tick off, you know, you tick off the parts of the Did you have your antioxidant? Did you, you know, that whole it is a one page that I can see myself photocopying from the book and like using it like literally like I will photocopy like 20 pages and like literally have it on as a daily planner, you know, mm-hmm. So I could set my day, put my lunch in, put my breakfast in, you know. And to be honest, I like it because it actually has all those things in it. It is actually after the part about the journaling and stuff. It's basically that's part of the whole journal. It has where you're checking in with your partner. Did you check? Did you like what? Did you not like? So I really like that practical aspect of the book. It really brings, like I said, it brings it home. Brings all of the science down to something that I can physically use. And physically used today. Did you ever think about taking that part of the book and making it like a separate workbook that you can, you know, distribute also?
You know, no, I hadn't really considered that. You know, I just wanted to, the whole goal with the book is I make something that was, you know, smart, funny, and just contained a ton of really useful information. I just wanted it to be really dense. I've read so many fluff books that, you know, make promises and then they never deliver on what, you know, what you think you're getting. And so I just wanted it to be, I just wanted it to have everything right there, you know, so that it was easy. Oh, and as a side note, there's also an entire section on male oral sex as well. There's a whole tutorial on that as well.
Oh yeah, I remember at the beginning I asked, but do we have a time for? Do we have time to get into it, or do we go for part?
I know. It's not all of that. I know. I got off on a tangent.
That's fine. I have no problem with that because honestly, you know, this book is really really practical, right? And to me, it gives the base a good balance of the theory and the practical. It gives it, and this is why I really wanted to get into this as a separate aspect of you know, a different episode, as it were. You get a whole episode thinking about the practicalities of this book and the practicalities of sex. So, you know, if you haven't listened to the first episode, you should go back and listen to it, because it does give everything that we're talking about context. Right, it gives everything a context, but honestly, this book is a really great book. It's a really great resource, because especially if you are somebody who is into healthy eating and stuff, it puts a new layer on everything. But for sure, if you're like a normal person like me, and the reason into this book is because I want to have better sex. who doesn't want to have better sex, right? So it puts everything into a bite-sized not really bite-sized. The book is 200 and something pages, but it does allow you, if you and like I said in the earlier part of the last time, it really is easy to read. Even although there's a lot of science inside, it is not a boring book. It is not. I love the storylines. I love the little examples, the stories that come out, the examples, because it really brings home and puts everything into perspective just by these stories. You know, I really love this book. It's really, really well written. One of the things I have here, I took out, that when we're getting into the pregame diet for date night, you know, so it talks specifically about avoiding fatty foods and salt, encouraging potassium. But there is a quote here that I took out. You said, "For the best sex, long-term healthy eating is the best strategy." So even although what's happening here is that you're in this section, you're giving, These are some of the things that you can eat like 24 hours before, you know, you want to have a good time, eat this or eat that, avoid this. You make a point of saying, although this is here in the book and this is something, it's not, you can't have a real cheat sheet, because to get best sex, for the best sex of your, you know, of your life, it really should be something that you build into your lifestyle. Right, so for the best sex, long term healthy eating is the best strategy. So I took that out because I need to remind myself of that. Real talk, you know, when I get to the point where what it is that many people eat the fast food because they have, I guess, too fast a lifestyle. They don't slow down, and because they don't slow down, they don't have the, as you say, they don't. They enjoy the fast food because it tastes good, but they don't slow down and relish the fast food, and they usually can't do it either because they're rushing to something else. And I'm in the middle of eating because I have to rush and go to another meeting, or I have to go and collect my children, or you know, and all these different things.
Yeah, there are more demands placed on us as human beings, I feel like, than ever before in human history. I mean, life is, you know, easier. Our productivity is near maxed out. You know, we are just on the go all day long. We don't take time to just sit and relax. And when we do relax, it's like in front of TV, which, you know, studies have shown TV isn't relaxing at all. It's not, it doesn't relax your mind. It doesn't relax your body. So, nope. So we have to cope somehow. And usually diet is one of the first things to go by the wayside. Whereas we used to have, you know, a structure in our society that allowed for, you know, people would eat home-cooked meals every single day. And, you know, so that structure has kind of evolved into what we have today, which is a lot different. We have, you know, two people working. We don't typically have one person staying at home. And, I mean, being at home is a full-time job. You know, you could, I could easily spend all day long being at home just making sure my house is clean, cooking delicious, wholesome meals for my family, and, you know, taking care of all of our health. But instead, my house is messy. I eat out half the time with my kids, and I, you know, and I work full time, and I do things like write books and that sort of thing. So, I mean, even I, as mindful as I am, I do those shortcuts, you know. I take my kids out to eat sometimes, you know, because I just don't have the time.
Yeah, so you definitely need to. So in the midst of all this, it is a clarion call for us to really recognize that health is a holistic, you know, health is holistic, and the whole idea of great sex is actually holistic as well. It really, when you think of great sex, you think of just the physical aspect, and then for depending on your thought process, all you're thinking about is penetration, penile or otherwise. So you're just thinking about the orgasm and the actual acts of sex, but it is such a holistic, you know, there's so much more to it. And this book brings that out for me. Really.
Yeah. Sex can be so much more than that. It can be so much more than that. It can, you know, you know, just tap into the natural essence of man, you know, well, woman and man, just, you know, being almost a cosmic experience when we kind of appreciate all of the, you know, all of the higher aspects. You're literally, your body's merging. And, you know, it's so much more than just getting off.
Yeah. No. I wanted to ask last time, and you might have mentioned it, but specifically the since we dealt last time with Chinese medicine, the qi, you know, I think of qi, and I think of literally Chinese martial arts and my favorite cartoon of all time, the Avatar, which all deals with the transfer of energy and stuff like this. But you know, like, so we're dealing with it from a sexual standpoint and food standpoint. And there's one thing that hit me when I was reading it. It said that like stuff like dairy and pork and processed meats actually slow down qi. So we probably mentioned it slightly last time, but let's go into this just for a quick second as to what qi is and why is it important for your body, especially from a sexual standpoint.
Sure. So qi is the vital life force that courses through our body. It's an Eastern concept that we don't quite, it's a little slippery here in the East. But essentially, you can see qi, you can really conceptualize it when you see like a nerve firing. A nerve firing is, you know, a very way that qi flows. You know, peristalsis, food moving from our mouth to the other end, all of those coordinated series of muscle contractions, that's the movement of qi. You know, qi is what flows through our body. You can think of it as, you know, every time a muscle contracts, every time your heart beats, every time your lungs contract and expand, that's the movement of qi. And, you know, when qi is strong, all of those processes are better. Qi in many ways can also be equated to our microbiome. So the balance of microorganisms that populate our digestive tract. And research has shown that the microbiome is involved in all aspects of health, you know, even cardiovascular health. You know, they've determined that the health of your microbiome can affect how likely you are to have a heart attack. It can affect what weight we're at, you know, obesity, it affects so many different aspects of health. So that's the qi, you know, biomedically, that's kind of what qi looks like.
Right. Okay. Cause I really wanted to ask that. I wanted to ask that since last time. So that's, if you're listening to this podcast afterwards, you're going to be like, but you're jumping all over the place. And I guess that's true, but it's my show and I can do what I want. But, but yes, literally, I just wanted to make sure I got in there because we were talking about, we did talk about Chinese medicine and acupuncture and the whole idea of how the acupuncture helped the body. And I don't think I actually got into what she was. So I really wanted to get here. Well, we went off on a tangent, but I want to get back to it. Let's end off by having fun with the head. Having fun with the bonus, having why give good head, prosthex and all of that. I love what you have said in this. I think it's page 189. This one I actually have written down with the book number, the page number, because it was so important to me. And he said, "We all want our partner to adore us, and what better way than to taste the most intimate part of their body? In all seriousness, there's no way around this fact. In order to call ourselves good lovers, which we were just insinuating, we must know how to give good head. Because when our partner does this for us, it makes us feel nurtured and makes us feel special. Best of all, feeling adored helps lower our inhibitions so we can relax, enjoy, and fully participate in sex. And for this, we are immensely grateful to our partners and closer to boot. So, like, for those of us, I've been in situations in multiple sexual relationships where they love the fact that I give head, but getting it back, they didn't want to do it. So, I mean, but, you know, just for anybody listening to the sound of my voice, your partner probably wants you to give them head. I'm just saying. Just understand what I've just read. The same way you feel adored when you are receiving, you should give that same adoration to your partner. Because they obviously, there are some people, weird though they are, who actually don't like getting head for whatever reason, which I find a little strange, but to each their own. But for those who actually like it, please give them what they want. Do not come in. I know there are stigmas that are put on some Caribbean men that, you know, like the Rastafari in some Rastafari in Jamaica and even here in Barbados, who see it as eating animal products, so they don't indulge. But honestly, sex is great, and so is giving head. I'm just saying. So let me see if I can run. If I can run quickly to the bottom part. So right here, giving the penis a head start. So this is where you were talking about, where you actually give like actually specifically talk about giving a male oral sex, how to give good head. So you say start slow. You're giving, you're touching and caressing over pants and underwear. So it's basically sensual. You're talking about being sensual here, really taking your time. I can see. I think that women are better at taking their time than men are. Men always want to get to the money shot like really quickly because most men are really, their ego gets in the way. And then they get into wanting, I mean, sex to a man is when he can ejaculate. When he can ejaculate. So, you know, but women are better at it of being more sensual, of being more slow down and enjoying the moment. I think like that's why, personally, I like watching girl-on-girl porn more. Because they give to each other without the rush that a man, you know, men want to get to the end because the men are all about the orgasm. So what tits. So it says here lots of great visual stimulation.
Sorry. I just wanted to say that, in my humble opinion, I think that half of giving good head to a male is enjoying it. You know, being enthusiastic about being down there. I mean, it's not as complicated of a process, I don't think, as it is to please a woman, you know, for sure. I mean, certainly you want to communicate with your partner and find out what that person likes. But a lot of times, you know, just like... women have insecurities about their bodies, about the way that they taste, the way that they smell to their partner. You know, males have insecurities about that sort of thing as well. Yep, and for sure. And want to know that you're happy to be down there doing that. They want to know that you like their penis, their testicles, that you're, you know, okay with the way that they taste, the way that they smell, and that you're enjoying yourself, that it's not a chore for you. Mm.
That's definitely a big one for me, for sure. And this goes not just for oral, but just in general. I feel better when I think you're enthusiastic about it, when you want to have sex with me, when you want to have to give me oral, when you want it, you know, that whole, you know, the energy is different when compared to if you're just laying there and just, you know, doing everything and I have right. to do all of it, and I have to do all of it myself. So right. for sure, that part I definitely get. I definitely get. Being enthusiastic definitely helps. Definitely helps for sure. I like that I'm seeing this. You know, but you're right. Thinking about a woman's orgasm it feels so much more technical than a man. You know, it really basically boils down to, as you say, communication and being able to see the cues that the partner has. You know, because each person is different.
Absolutely. And in the book, you know, I talked about specific techniques for male pleasure too. I mean, they're you know, they definitely are there. It's not as good, but you know, like you talked about the glands is the most sensitive part of the penis. Women should know this, you know, or your partner should, if it's a male or a female, mm-hmm. should know that that's the most sensitive part, and that you want to focus much of your attention there, you know, for sure. And there are a lot of different ways you can stimulate that area to be, you know, pleasurable, and, you know, caress other areas of the body while you're stimulating the glands, you know. And I talked about this in the book. There are a lot of specific, just specific techniques there.
Right. And for anyone who's going to buy the book, it starts on page 204. I'm looking at it right now. It's 204, page 204. Let's say it's actually like 203, 204. Okay, hot tips starts at like page 202. Now going from 202 to 204 is a male. And then from there, you have the female, the big O, the elusive female orgasm. So there are tips as well about that. Basically speaking, Christine, this book, like I say, is a great resource. And I am grateful to be here, to have had these conversations with you, to be able, because like I said, it's actually helped me think better about my own health and think differently about, you know, about sex in general. I mean, I call myself a sensual artist. I from a point of view of arousal, and I write hoping and wanting, when you read my work, that you are aroused as well. So, but you know, I like to stimulate mentally, but of course it gets to the place where hopefully when you've read the work, you want to act that out on a physical level. And this book is a great resource for everybody to be able to do that. And these bonus tips on giving head, you know, just add icing to the cake. So really, I'm really, really grateful for the opportunity to have you on the show. Once again, this has been Passion Point. We've been talking to Christine DeLuger, and we've been talking about her book, Diet for Great Sex. Well, as we wrap up, do you have anything you want to say to the audience? And then you can just tell them how to find you on social media.
Sure. I guess the only thing I'd like to say is just be kind to yourselves, be kind to your bodies, and be kind to your partners. And that's probably the best, you know, just basic philosophy for great sex. And you can find me on dietforgreatsex.com. That's my website. And I'm also on social media, where I have some recipes and that sort of thing, on Instagram, Facebook, at Diet for Great Sex. And actually TikTok. I have some TikTok videos as well, where I have recipes, that sort of thing.
Well, I just did my first TikTok yesterday, so I'm getting into the TikTok world as well. I did TikTok for my other business, which is editing. I did my first TikTok video yesterday, and so now I have to figure out what kind of TikTok videos, not only for the editing version, not only for the editing, but I realized I can do multiple, like just like Instagram, I can switch between accounts very easily on TikTok. So I want to create a TikTok for my erotic site, and how can I incorporate what I do? So TikTok is a whole new world for me now. So I'll be looking. I'll look to see if I find you, and I'll follow you and see, you know, get some tips on great sex from you on those topics for sure.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see your TikTok. That would be fascinating, because I imagine it would be challenging to create videos about editing. So I'll be curious to see how you how you tackle it, you know.
Well, I'll definitely tag you. I'll look for you and I'll tag you as for the editing side, and then I'll do the same when I create the other one, because I've created the editing, but I've only used it for watching other people until yesterday.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm gonna show you the little one, the 15-second video that I did. That supposed everybody that I showed it to, they told me it was funny. So I think I'm along the right path. It is. Uh-huh. I have more work to do as the first one, but we'll see how it goes. But cool. Thank you so much. This has been cool. Like I say, I definitely wanted to have this again, because like talking to you was just so educational, so fun, and learning a lot of things which, under normal circumstances, I would have shied away from. So cool. if nobody else has gotten anything from this episode, I definitely have.
Good. I'm so glad. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
No problem. So when you write another book, or if you want to, you know, anything else that you want to talk about, you can always hit me up. We can always have another show on another topic. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
You're always free to come back. Right.
You know, what we could have a topic on at some point in the future is we could maybe talk about female genitalia, you know, and, you know, just, well, okay, not just female genitalia, but basically I wrote this chapter in my book on what your partner wants versus what we think a partner wants. And I think, you know, some of the media driven notions of what a partner wants have kind of skewed our perceptions, made us really insecure, and even like willing to do all sorts of things like get, you know, genital cosmetic surgery. Cause like I was in an airport one day and I saw this, you know, this thing for genital cosmetic surgery, you know, where I thought, oh, come on, seriously? Like, women already have enough insecurities. You know, we're going around wearing high heels, getting boob implants, butt implants, nose jobs, you know, fixing all these things because, you know, these media driven ideas say that we need to, you know. And I think we could have a whole show on that, but
we can. Yes, for sure. We will definitely do that. That sounds like a plan. I'll probably do it anyway, but if you're listening to this podcast and you actually want to hear it, you can hit me up in my DMs. You know, you will hear all of how to get in contact with me in the outro. You can also check us out on thewetspotpodcast@gmail.com, and so you can always just hit me up on Instagram, hit me up in the email, and tell me if you really want to hear it. But for sure, I intend to do it anyway, because again, it's a great topic. I did actually read that part in the book, because like I said, until I started skimming like chapter, you know, I got to like chapter 8 before I decided let me start skimming, but I was really engrossed in reading. So I did pass that part where you talked about the people genitalia, and so it would definitely make a good show. So we'll get into that for sure. We'll plan that and we'll have that episode for sure.
Great. Right? Awesome.
Okay. Right. So like I said, this has been Passion Point for another week. And we've gotten a lot of good information here. So for sure, check her out. Check her book out. And definitely, we are looking for great sex and great health. So while I go and get myself ready for my Tai Chi this afternoon, we'll see you again next week for another topic. This has been Passion Poet. We'll see you again next week. Bye.
This has been another episode of The Wet Spot. I am your host, Passion Poet. You can contact us at The Wet Spot Podcast at gmail.com. That's The Wet with two T's Spot Podcast at gmail.com. Or you can check us out on our Instagram page, the.wet.spot.podcast. I know it's a mouthful, I'll say it again. The.wet2t's.spot.podcast. That's our Instagram page. If you wish, you can contact me, Bajan Passion Poet, on Instagram at bajan.passionpoet at Bajan, Bajan dot Passion Poet on Instagram. Thank you once again for being a part of our show. See you next time. Let's get wet.